Morning. Thank you all for your attendance at today's special board meeting. And thank you for those of you who are joining us online for your interest and participation. We'll start with a moment of silence. And I think today it's particularly important that we reflect upon our responsibility to our students and our employees and to our taxpayers. And that will be followed by the pledge. So please rise. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Looking at our attendance today, all of our board members are present. Once again, I thank you for that. And now we'll move to approval of our agenda, which is a single item, action item.
I move to approve the agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
A motion and a second. Any questions or comments about the agenda? All those in favor of the approving the agenda as presented, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Our agenda is approved. Now we have the first of two opportunities for public comment. If anyone who is joining us via Zoom would like to make a comment, we would ask you to please limit your comment to 2 minutes or less. If you wish to speak, please select the raise hand option on your screen. When it's your turn to speak, the webinar host will unmute your microphone and you'll be asked to state and spell your name for the record and to share your address.
Mr. Blevins, at this time, there are no hands raised.
Okay. Thank you. And now we'll move on to our action item today. And I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Dahl. I would like, just for the sake of clarity, to point out that we are going to be voting upon a recommendation from the administration to adjust the schedule of the grade 7 to 12 component of our district. We are also going to hear from them what other modifications that don't entail a schedule modification that are being made in grades K to 6. Our action today does not preclude, if it becomes a recommendation of the administration, it does not preclude us from taking similar or other schedule modification action as it applies to grades K through 6. Just want to make that clear. Okay, so with that, I'll turn it over to Dr. Dahl.
Thank you, and good morning, and thanks for everyone for being here. And on behalf of the district, I want to thank our stakeholders for all their work related to our school reopening. And I think there are many successes. I thank the board for your dedication. Certainly our staff have worked extremely hard. I thank our parents and our guardians for just their understanding, flexibility as we navigate this time, and certainly our administrative team for making a lot of this come to fruition. Just like many districts around the county and around the nation, as we look to open, we're now about in our fifth week of reopening, we're also having that discussion and reflection on what is working and what adjustments do we need to make. You've heard and the overused term unprecedented times, and I can certainly attend that we are certainly in that phase. So as we progress through the year of offering a multitude of learning options for our students, we have carefully monitored and collected feedback related to our process, our progress, and more importantly, the sustainability. And I think that is a critical word. Can we continue to do what we're doing throughout the course of the year as we're offering these varied learning options? Through this analysis, we come to the board today seeking affirmation of a revised schedule, and to Mr. Blevins' point, it's specifically for students in grades 7 through 12, which entail our middle school and high school. Specifically, we're seeking approval of Wildcat Wednesdays on our secondary campus, in which students will engage in what is known as asynchronous learning while remaining at home. So this is not a day off. What this is a learning day, and many districts have this current model in play, where students will be provided activities, assignments, and work, and engage from that from home each Wednesday, and we'd like to begin that the week of October 19th. It is my belief that this revision is needed in order to better serve students requiring additional interventions and supports, staff requiring additional time to continue the tedious digital migration of instructional materials, as well as increase opportunity for needed professional development, collaboration, and planning. Today's recommendation, again, is specific to 7-12, but at the same time, I will say why 7-12 and not K-6 at this point. We are looking at K-6, and we are working with our principals to make adjustments, and Dr. Heffler will fill you in on some of those aspects, but we're not ready to make the recommendation of K-6 because we want to ensure that we're looking at all aspects, because we recognize the strain K-6 will also place on our school families and community. So to Mr. Blevins' point, there may be a point in time down the road that we come to you with some alteration, but we're not ready to put that in play now. Why are we doing it now? Why don't we wait till October board meeting? Because we are quickly seeing the need that exists from our, certainly our staff, but also from our students. And just to give you a glimpse in time, around this time last year, just think of the high school as an example, the number of failures, not the number of students, but failing a course, we were at about 273. This time this year, we're approximately 549. So we have a number of students that are, we have to re-engage, especially in our remote learning option, and that takes time to do so. So as it relates to grades, going back to grades K-6, we will come to you and continue to explore different options within that model. So Dr. Heffler has pulled together a presentation just to highlight some of the challenges, successes we're focusing on, but more importantly, to give you an overview of some of our rationale for the decision and more of a clear picture of what we are recommending. So at this time, I'll turn it over to our Assistant Superintendent, Dr. Heffler.
Thank you, Dr. Dahl. Please note here that the district continues in our reopening to seek to be responsive, to reconceptualize what education looks like now that we have free learning options as we have not had in the past, for our growth and sustainability. That's really the focus of what we're looking at here. Wonderful. All right, we still have our three learning options here that you'll see from the student perspective and family's perspective, and we'll continue those options as we move forward for this school year. We are continuing with our learning model that focuses on a gradual release, and in that, I do want to make sure we emphasize that there is in-person instruction, there's remote instruction, and then a concept of the hybrid instruction and having a focus or a foundation on an interactive and engaging component, making sure we continue with the great rigor that we expect from our folks. Here, what I want to do is first highlight the secondary staff and what that instructional dynamics are now that we have moved through a number of weeks of instruction with students on grades 7 through 12. We did some re-rostering on the middle school piece, but the high school we have a split rostering, and as we move forward, we see change in options with students and so forth. With that concept, we then now have a split rostering across the board at the middle school as well. So when it comes to the journey of a teacher in this, we have the remote learning, we have hybrid instruction, and we have cyber learning. We have very few courses that are solely face-to-face or solely remote in this setup when you're talking about the teachers who are teaching in our brick-and-mortar setting. The elementary for grades K through 6, that does include the intermediate school, we have our remote learning option, we have face-to-face, in-person instruction, cyber. And we do have a few teachers who are teaching remote and face-to-face in different sections at the intermediate school and at the elementary specific teams, but the intermediate school has re-rostered and so has the elementary. Just letting you know what the journey for the teacher is. And rather than read this to you, this is a bit of a summary of what it looks like for them in their experience. The majority of these folks are working in one environment or the other, and some are working in both environments. And they obviously will be accommodating and have been accommodating our students who have been under quarantine and have done some work through Zoom within their classrooms that way. During our reopening, we have experienced great success, and it is due to the outstanding efforts of our dedicated faculty, school counselors, administrators, staff in general. We have a number of support staff and so forth that have just helped us make this a success. And of course, our community, because without the support of our community, we wouldn't be where we are today when it comes to the successes we're seeing with Wildcat Remote, as well as our face-to-face and our cyber. With this success, we also have challenges that we need to recognize and monitor and adjust programmatically. And currently today, the reason why we're seeking the 7 through 12 alteration in the schedule is because the list of challenges that we face within the secondary campus. Elementary has a number of challenges as well, and we want to recognize that and value that because they are working incredibly hard in order to service our students. We need to work on the sustainability, and there will be a differentiation today between elementary and secondary because the learning models are different. We're looking at health and safety, the educational climate, and sustainability. We're going to be continuing to assess our reopening considerations. And as we went in our reopening plan and looked at decision-making points, we had a number of decision-making points at the time. But as we moved through the school year thus far, with a number of weeks in, we added additional components of our decision-making, including family supports and engagement, as well as sustainability and systemsness. And of course, the guidance we've had from our Department of Health when it comes to regulations for quarantine and exclusion for the COVID considerations. When we reconceptualize and refine our work, as good instructors do, and our staff is doing an incredible job of that, they're continuing to monitor and adjust what we do to support students. Notice that we have multiple students that have been either positive or quarantined, and staff as well, through the start of this school year. We are stable and we are working diligently to make sure that we can keep everyone safe. We are translating our curriculum resources and materials, and we're continuing to coordinate interventions for those students that Dr. Dole mentioned previously, as well as others who are just seeking more support and are highly engaged. We do want a high standards and achievement for all of our students.
Dr. If I may just jump in, I get the other piece I want to emphasize when it comes to sustainability, and we can look at this as a short-term decision, and obviously this is going to be a decision. We're not putting a time frame on how long. I want to say I certainly don't see it extending past this year, but let's look past the year for a moment. We're in the process now because typically we are having knee-deep conversation. Even though we're 5 weeks into school, we're looking at what does the 21-22 school year look like. And what we're clearly saying is we are never going to go back. So from a sustainability standpoint, the work we do next year will also springboard us into future years and continue to offer remote learning and instruction. So that's another reason, although not highlighted because we're focused on the here and now, will expand to many years to come. I apologize.
No, it's wonderful. Very important point, and I'm going to highlight a little bit of that here. Currently, when we're looking at these remote Wednesdays, these Wildcat Wednesdays for remote learning for the secondary campus, we have asynchronous instruction and we've solidified our Google classrooms, etc. But designing and implementing that in a dual environment that we currently have on secondary campus where teachers are teaching both simultaneously, where we also need to migrate resources, curriculum, making sure that we stay consistent and we keep that rigor. We want to make sure we structure some team coordination and some ongoing professional development. And of course, support for those interventions for students who may or may not be engaging at this time or experiencing or not experiencing success. In elementary, you'll notice the list that is down below is the same because those teachers are working diligently for those same efforts, although their models are different and we need some more time to assess what their needs are. Currently, what we're looking at is building in asynchronous instruction pieces for our remote learners and for our intermediate school staff who have split rostering and face-to-face to allow for some of those interventions even within our school system. Our principals are working diligently with our staff to help make sure they have those supports and assess where we are. So we're currently going to be keeping K through 6 intact in this proposal in our current schedule, but we will be building asynchronous instruction as we naturally do within our instruction throughout the day. And principals and so forth are working with teachers in that area. We are paving the way for the future, and as Dr. Dahl said, we want to, as we proceed and move through what we're doing in order to make Wildcat Remote Learning a sustainable feature of our system beyond this school year, we want to make sure that we continue to assess so that we can make sure we're supportive and innovative and instructional in our climate, and we also want to make sure that we have pathways for our student success, and that means supporting them. The hybrid model of excellence is a challenging feature that we currently face. Now, not that K-6 doesn't have its challenges, it certainly does. And at this time, we're assessing where they are and what they need. We are proposing today to alter the schedule for secondary campus 7 through 12 to allow for an asynchronous day on Wednesday. Here's a glimpse of the timeline that we're proposing when it comes to the implementation of this in order to support our learners there and our staff. So at this point in time, I'm going to pass it back to Dr. Dahl so that he may expand upon anything else that he'd like to add.
Sure. No, and I would just say that this is in respect of time and certainly seeking your feedback and deliberation. That is the recommendation. I think it's appropriate at this point if you have specific questions or I'll turn it over to Mr. Blevins to facilitate that or specific comments how you wish to proceed.
Okay. Well, I think what I'd like to do is to get a motion on the table and then allow each board member opportunity to ask any questions or clarification and offer any opinions that they care to offer. So at this point, I'll entertain a motion for approval of the recommendation of the administration.
I'll make the motion to approve action item 5A.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. And now before we vote, we'd like to proceed with questions and opinions from the board.
I don't have an issue with what you're trying to do. I agree with it, but I think I have more questions now about the K through 6 because you have many of the teachers doing the same thing, even though they're smaller groups, but then you have the in-person classroom when they're quarantined. I didn't realize they go to, they're responsible for doing, they don't go to the remote teachers, so they're doing basically the same thing as the high school teachers are doing. And whether you have to make up lesson plans for 1 or 5, it's still the same amount of planning time. And then I think where they get some time right now at the end of on Fridays or something like that. Like the specials, like K-6, they get some planning time, but they still have to plan for all their kids to do something while they're doing that. As far as I'm concerned, the greater need now is making sure it's equitable. And basically, the K-6 is still doing the same thing. So I don't have a problem with the 7-12. I think more of my issue now is the K-6.
And Ms. Pretzel, I fully respect what you're saying, and I will say there are things that we are working through with our principals that the K-3 is unique compared to our 4-6. There's really three distinct models going on. And before, this is an intrusive recommendation because this does have an impact on our family and community. For me personally, I want to make sure we explore every option before we make a recommendation. If those options are not successful or do not have merit, I have no problem making the recommendation of what you're putting in play. This is not to me about who's working harder and who gets the golden egg. Everyone is working hard. My heart goes out to K3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12. Our staff is working harder than they have ever worked. What we're also trying to do is find a great balance. You recall we had a long discussion when we originally proposed a virtual model. Part of that discussion, and the number one reason we went to the model we did, was based on daycare and daycare for our families during the course of the day. I want to ensure that we are taking every step before we're putting that strain on our families, and we just need some additional time to work through it. We're only 5 weeks in. It's very clear from the secondary level, based on their model, the need exists, and there's not much flexibility based on their specific and unique model. But I cannot argue with what you're saying, Mr. Metzl.
So I just want to say that I originally didn't realize there'd be so much conflict over this decision. So the timing of this meeting is a little bit, makes me a little bit uncomfortable, because a lot of people who do have a stake are not able to weigh in on the meeting. So I'll just put that out there. It's exceptionally conflicting. I've heard from parents who aren't happy that this is going to happen. Obviously, teachers who aren't happy, teachers who are happy, parents who are understanding. I have friends who work in other districts, close friends who work in other districts, and I can see it on their faces. I can hear it in their voices. They're exhausted. It's very difficult. You know, I think this is a global thing. It's not specific to Dallas Town. So I really do understand the need for it. I think that this will help teachers be better. I'm confident this will help teachers be better. I understand the concern for equity. I'm going to support it today because I think the largest flare-up has been in the secondary. I am concerned about 7th and 8th, especially 7th grade kids being home alone. But again, I understand the need for it. The largest flare-up of the pandemic or of the virus has been in the high school. It seems to me the second largest flare-up would be the intermediate school, so I understand their concern. And I want to look at alleviating their pressures, because obviously from the emails that we've gotten, there are a lot of pressures, and I do sympathize with that. I think that's about it. Okay, so thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Trout. Anyone else?
I do have one question, just a clarification. So the students that are being asynchronous on Wednesdays, I'm assuming that that will be the same as remote, that they have to log in at a certain time, but they must be present throughout the whole day. Is there a check and balance system to make sure that those students are engaged on that day, or how is that being handled?
The series of activities or opportunities for each course will be put out there through their Google Classrooms and through their platforms, and then the students will work independently through those items. Now, some folks will also have some interventions with students, so there'll be some face-to-face, but there will only be pretty much independent type work that's aligned to the curriculum on this day for the students. So teachers can put out anything from videos to that require responses to paradigms to project-based learning pieces that will happen on that Wednesday. They will not be running the same series as they currently are on Wednesdays with the Zoom sessions on the secondary campus.
But they have to log in by a certain time in order to be.
It's through the submission of their work and engagement in the material that we'll be taking attendance.
It'll be similar to our option 3. There's work that needs to be completed. If you start at 8 a.m. or 8 p.m., the work needs completed by a certain time period.
Okay. And again, I will support this. I understand that, you know, there are different pressures on our teachers now than there ever has been. And I do feel confident that you're going to be looking at the again, whatever you guys need to do that due diligence to find out what will be the best for our teachers and also our families, and make sure that our education moves forward and that we can handle you keep talking about the sustainability. So I do, you know, I'm going to trust that you guys are going to look into that. You guys will figure out what the best possible arrangement is for that. And but again, I will support the decision for the 7 through 12.
Thank you. I'll chime in. I'm grateful that you're hearing us. I think our job as directors is to make sure that we communicate the awareness, we have the appreciation of the staff, and we acknowledge
that it is trying for them. Our job is to give you direction and flexibility and let you manage it. So it's a catch-22 that we're in right now, because I think the biggest issue is equity. And you talk about in education, and we know how everyone compares it. I mean, that's collective bargaining. That's every place in any employment opportunity where you have large groups of people. Everyone's looking at how the owner is taking care of them and how they're related and valued compared to their peers. And we're going to have that even more in education. And we already have it with, you know, dedicated subject teachers versus the specials, or just that balance. So I'm comforted, and I will support this, just because we have to acknowledge that this is our first step of awareness and acknowledgement, and that we have to provide some relief. I'm grateful that you're moving forward with this core group, but that, and I'm glad that you're saying that others will be addressed, and that you're not looking at a one-size-fits-all approach, that we need to meet each group in their culture and in their abilities, and keep things moving forward for the best of the kids, our staff, and we're balancing everything. I will say there is a lot of work that needs to be done to make sure with management and communication for those who aren't getting immediate relief now, that, you know, we're talking about grade levels, but we're not talking about special needs or the gifted or all of the, that they are even taxed more. And we need to make sure that there is, as part of, we communicate awareness, and we communicate that your relief will come, and it is our intent to be fair. But this is just that we got to get the ball rolling. And like I said, it's my job to give you the authority to work that way, but you need to be aware of the pressure to manage this and to make sure that everyone is balanced. So thank you.
I'll go. I'm literally sitting here right now, don't know which way I'm going to go. I probably will decide when Mrs. Kirby calls my name. I know I'm probably the only one, but I feel like I'm in an untenable situation right now, as you probably are too as administration. In our last board meeting, I said something about us not being ready for option two, and compared it to my world and my industry about people trying to move online. And many people took those comments to mean that administration wasn't capable and our teachers weren't capable. And that's not what I meant at all. What I meant is, as Mr. Benson pointed out, that I often say is, we don't know what we don't know. It's these kinds of issues that pop up that we had no idea that were going to be issues four weeks ago, or probably even a couple weeks, whatever it is. Our teachers need help, and I want everyone in this room and everyone listening to know that I believe that teachers need help. I'm simply not sold on this plan for a couple of reasons. I'm not, and I share Mrs. Trout's concern for two things that she said. Number one, I'm not sure all seventh and eighth graders can be home alone to deal with their education. And I'm not sure what strain that puts on families. I just simply don't know the answer to that. I am worried about, and this is tough, and I understand this, we couldn't necessarily wait until the October board meeting, but at the same time, it feels like a little bit like we're sacrificing the process for the sake of expediency. And what I mean by that is, many of us had to take a day off work to be here for today. A lot of people don't have that luxury, and yes, it's available via Zoom, but that simply doesn't mean they're able to log in and hear and have comments and speak. And, you know, it worries me that we're making a decision of this magnitude this way, but I understand the decision had to be made, and I understand all that. I'm not saying it was wrong. I'm just saying that I struggle with that. It's still not clear to me how this helps option one students, and frankly, I don't know that it does. I think it's more for getting the teachers the relief they need, and I'm okay with getting the teachers the relief that they need. I'm simply worried about what this is going to do to option one students who have chosen to be here for whatever reason, specifically those that have chosen to be here because virtual learning doesn't suit them, and I'm worried that many of them are just going to treat Wednesdays like a snow day.
and they're just not going to do anything. And so you trade one problem for another. I'm worried about this outreach that we talk about to kids that aren't engaged. If the child's not engaged and the parent's not engaged, there's only so much we can do from our seats here to get them engaged. That's that piece. As far as timing, I hope this gives them the time they need, but we simply don't know. And I really, really, really struggle with passing this open-ended forever. I mean, we're not talking about this year now. Now we heard Dr. Dahl talk about next year and continuing this. And I sort of have a problem passing this resolution or this motion today and leaving this open-ended Asynchronous Wednesdays forever until we come back and decide to undo it, which is essentially what will happen. It'll have to be a board action to undo it because we're doing it. If there was any chance that I was going to get on board with this, and I may actually, I probably will amend the motion that we authorize it for this year and the board has to come back and reauthorize it at the beginning of each trimester. Not that I don't trust administration, but I want to see, I don't know what success is going to be. I don't know what a success is going to look like. I don't know if this is going to work or not work, and to just leave it open-ended kind of concerns me. I would much rather have administration come back to us at the beginning, a couple weeks prior to the trimester, and say, this is what's happening, and we say, okay, let's do it for another trimester. I'd rather give it in increments rather than leave it out there forever. So I'm just letting you all know that it may not get a second, and it may get voted down, the amendment. But I think we need to know what success looks like, and I'm not sure I heard that. And we need to know how to measure the success, and we need to know if we need to modify it or change it, and I have a problem with the open-endedness of it. So I think that I'll stop because we're limited on time, and I think I said what I needed to say.
Just clarify on the motion. The motion, the way it's read, is 2021. So if this would, you know, we would see there's a need throughout the course of the year. This would stop at the end of the year. It is not my intent for future years, unless something goes
changes the environment.
We'll assess within each trimester the need as we progress.
Can I get? Can I ask a clarifying question on slide 10? Believe it is. For the elementary level, I'm just seeking to understand, so forgive me. You have down at the bottom that the staff would also get design and implementation of remote asynchronous instruction for option one and two. How will the option one teachers be doing that when their students are in?
Our option one teachers are actually doing an incredible job of building materials and resources in the Google Classrooms online, even in the face-to-face instruction. So students are engaging face-to-face with the teacher and in their groups and in their rotations. But our K-3 teachers are being very artful in the way in which they're designing their materials, even within the classroom, and utilizing the Chromebooks in ways maybe they hadn't done before, others maybe have. So there is implementation, even in within the classroom, of the Wildcat remote learning model. You're starting to see some of that happening even with face-to-face instruction.
But they won't necessarily be getting extra time. I guess that's the way I was kind of reading that, because the remote teachers would be working with their building administrators to get that extra asynchronous time.
Absolutely.
But the option one brick-and-mortar teachers will just continue as is, correct?
Yes.
Okay. For me, when the plan was first brought to us, at the very beginning, that three-option plan, I expressed my concern right away over the teachers teaching both brick-and-mortar and remote and how they were going to be able to handle that and sustain that. That was a concern from the very beginning for me. So I appreciate the fact that you guys have been eyes wide open to that and you have heard their cries for help. I think all the teachers are stressed. They're all depleted. They're all tired. They're all working harder than ever. And I appreciate that and I thank them for that. And I do support the secondary campus giving this option to them. For me, I would request feedback for us, lines of communication kind of open to how that is going, what the success of that is, you know, how successful it is being, you know, how are our failure rates coming up, you know, are we more engaged with our students this way? Just open lines so we know if this does pass that it is either working in the right direction or not. I would also ask that we keep our eyes wide open also to 4 through 6, because as we all know, there's been a large outcry from that area. And I just think being cognizant of the fact of how hard they are working and the different learning models that they are doing as well, it's good for us to be, to also, you know, not only just do this for the secondary campus, but also keep the rest of our, you know, teachers and educators in mind as well, and make sure we're providing the same opportunities if necessary. So I would just ask that we continue to, if needed, really look at the intermediate school, and then if needed, even though the delivery is completely different of instructional material for the K-3 level, if there comes a time that they need something too, that we are also engaging in that as well with them.
Absolutely. I think you make a great point. The 4 to 6 is consistent, is constantly being creative and finding ways to meet the needs of the learners and the ways in which they're going about it. They have anything from fully remote teams to in-person teams, the teams that actually have a split of half to half. So they are continuing to morph and change and create as they go, and they're doing an incredible job. So I didn't want to not address that too. I talked to K-3 in person, remote. 4 to 6 is doing that same piece as they go and working diligently as well.
We can just, you know, just keep that open and offer them as much help as we can and continue working with them. That would be my suggestion.
Any other comments?
Real quickly, so many good comments. To me, I go back to, and I hate cliches, but this is the time for cliches. When I talk about unprecedented and sustainable, and just review, think where we've come in 5 weeks. It's really amazing where we are, going from what is now being known as the board meeting, deciding to come back to school, and really by all accounts in the public, and when I talk to parents, it's going quite well, whether you've chosen to go back in person or remote. So everybody should be commended for that. But with that comes a cost, and I recognize there's a cost that you can't sprint forever. You know, you need to take time and take a breath. So I support this. And I also want to urge, whether it be board, administration, teachers, parents, or anyone listening or anybody that cares to listen, the society, let's have patience for each other. These are unprecedented times. There are lots of unknowns. There are lots of stresses on everyone. And we hear it, and let's have some patience. I fully trust Dr. Heffler and Dr. Dahl that they are hearing it, and they're going to work through it. And as a staff and the community, we're going to work through it. So let's, I support this, and we're going to take a deep breath and see what our steps need to take.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. We're in uncharted waters, as everybody knows, and everybody needs help and assistance. But, you know, you're still swinging. You're at the plate, still swinging, and sometimes there's a strike, sometimes there's a home run. And so I applaud the fact that constantly looking for alternatives to make this better, because there's no playbook to this. And I fully support this. I really do. I do have just a couple of quick questions. Special needs students, like PT, OT, that kind of stuff, will they still receive services, and also, like, will lunch still be available to people on Wednesday? That for some of these students, that's kind of important.
Yes, as a matter of fact, we're going to be making some accommodations for some of our most vulnerable populations of students to allow for some face-to-face instruction to be happening on Wednesdays. And that'll be assessed by programs. Through our director of special education and the IU. So they are going to make decisions for their students based on what their needs are and their level of service. So that's all going to be assessed based from that department. And they're going to make their communications to those families who may need that during that time. So that is a big piece that we want to make sure we provide. Now, those auxiliary services, the other related services that we have, teachers who work in those areas are going to be adjusting their schedules to meet the needs of the students while they're present. Whether they're present on those Wednesdays or they're just present Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. So we'll be making some adjustments, and we've been collaborating with the IU and making sure we communicate with them for that, as well as our in-house folks that provide those services. The other piece of the lunches, yes, they can typically, our remote learners currently are able to order lunches ahead of time and come pick them up on Wednesday, and then we're going to continue that process for Wednesdays for our families who we need that on secondary campus, which is proposable.
Thank you.
Okay, I just have a couple brief comments. First of all, I fully support passage of this motion. I do think I look at it from a perspective of, you know, I don't think any of us have a true understanding of the stress that's being placed upon our teachers and our administrators and our staff. You know, I overheard my wife in a conversation she was having with a friend last evening say that, you know, in her eyes, teachers are the equivalent of frontline workers. Okay. And they have every bit as much stress as those wearing the PPE equipment in the COVID wards. Okay. And I just want to make sure that our teachers understand that, and I believe the whole board shares, but we really understand, probably not to the depth that we should, but we understand that you're going through very, very difficult times. And I just want to make sure that our faculty and our administrators know that we recognize that. Okay. I do, in regards to the concern over rigor on Wednesdays, okay, I will share a little anecdote that my grandkids attend a district in Virginia that's virtual only. And they have a day of the week where it's totally asynchronous, here's your assignments for that day. For the same reason, to allow their faculty and their administrators to continue this very difficult work. But my three grandsons hate that day because the rigor is so high that they actually have to work longer and harder on that day than they do the other 4 days of the week. So I'm hoping that same degree of rigor will be present here. Okay. I am concerned about the equity concern. Okay. And I know from talking to Drs. Huffer and Dahl, they too share that concern. Okay. And I trust them, and I'm convinced that they are going to seek to find ways to take at least some of the pressure off the K to six teachers, and we'll wait for further developments there. I know that I am going to support this. I really don't see the need. You know, we can certainly vote on an amendment, but I really don't see the need for that given the wording of the motion. And the trust and the grace that we're asking of each other, I trust the administration that they're not going to slow walk this into a longer situation than it needs to be. So
I'm going to go ahead and make it anyway. It has nothing to do with trust. It has nothing to do with thinking that there's something behind this that's not behind this. It's simply, I want to get behind this, and I don't like open-ended votes. And if it gets voted down, it gets voted down. But Mr. Blevins, I'd like to make a motion to amend the motion on the table that we authorize the instructional schedule for the entire 2021 school year, and require administration to update the board of what's working and what's not working before the end of each trimester, at which time the board must vote to reauthorize the remote Wednesdays.
Okay, there's a motion to amend the motion. Is there a second on that amendment?
I'll second it, but you don't need a second because we're a small board. Just in case anybody doesn't realize that, if something's brought up unpopular, one person can bring up the motion. They don't need a second, but I'll second it anyways just to be.
Okay, so I'm not up to speed on my Robert's rules. Sorry about that.
I know it comes up every now and then. I just want to remind people because that I know Jasmine did that a couple times. So
I think we always did have a second. So we have to vote on the amended motion first.
So just to make sure I get this correct, my understanding is that the board will now vote yes or no on the amendment.
Correct.
Okay.
Whether we, yes.
Right, so a yes vote means that you agree to amend the motion. A no vote means that you do not agree to amend the motion. So,
question? What previous to the amendment that was just made, what was the timeline for updating us on the progress of the recommendations?
Well, we have the superintendent's report. So that's where the superintendent's report this year will take, thanks to your point, having our high school and middle school administration provide an overview of what's going on. If you want that spelled out on a specific timeline of when, then we can
just kind of make
that's at the will of the board.
Well, to piggyback on that then, for me to be comfortable on the K-6, give me a date or give me a timeline when you'll come back with that, because it seems like the issue is, and I get that, we don't want to send the K-6 home because of the, and I agree with that every Wednesday. But when we know what the issues are, K-6, when do you think you can come back with the recommendation?
Yeah, that's separate from this motion, but I think the expectation of the board would be that at every single meeting we have for the balance of the year, we're going to get a thorough update on how things are going. There's no bigger issue that the board is facing right now. Okay, so I think
but
that goes. I don't think we need to vote to require that. I think
in
the agenda design, we'll make sure that happens. Yeah.
But before I can vote, is it going to be 6 weeks and you're going to come back for the K-6? Are you going to? We know what the problem is. In 2 weeks, are you going to be able to come back? I don't want to give you a timeline that's hard and fast, but.
Just like we have to implement this and then measure the success of it, we also are in the process of putting some things in play and implementing at the K-6. For me to give you a time, I don't want to give you an arbitrary time. Is that 5 weeks, 3 weeks?
But you'll update us at the October board meeting.
Yeah, I will provide an update on where we are from a K-12 lens. If you want specific hard lines, I'll give you the information I have at that specific time. That's really the will of the board.
Just to be clear on the spirit of the amendment, I threw in the part about the updates. I fully and expect it will be updated. My biggest concern is that this is not open-ended, that we hear an update, we go ahead and we tell our families that we're authorizing this through the 2021 school year. We're authorizing it through the school year. The intent of my amendment is to say that at the end of each trimester, we come back together and say, yes, we're going to continue it into try two. Because if we just say we're going to do a try one, then we have to go all through this again, and families are going to have a tough time figuring out child care on Wednesdays again for the next trimester and then the next trimester. If we tell them we're doing it for the whole year and we decide to stop it, that's not a huge hardship on families because they're just sending the kids back to school. They don't have to deal with child care. So the spirit of my amendment isn't about the reporting. I fully expect that we're going to get a lot of reporting. The spirit of my amendment is that we come back as a group and reauthorize this each trimester, so it's not open-ended. That, I'm sorry, I just want to clarify.
I have a question to your amendment then, Mr. Pintez. So if you're going, what you just said is, if we, as the original resolution is worded, this ends at the end of the year. So if we vote to pass that now, the parents know that now, and if the administration decides to, for lack of a better term, walk it back, or if the board decides to walk it back a later time, it's easier for parents to send kids to school than to find daycare. So I guess I'm confused, because that's kind of what we're saying, isn't it, that it's going to be through this year. But your proposal is that we...
I'm forcing a vote at the end of each trimester as to whether we continue or not, or whether we pull this back, rather than leaving it.
And just so you're aware, that would have to occur before Thanksgiving break at the board meeting. So that's really...
November 19th would be the next board meeting.
Yeah, the 19th. So that's, we would have some...
Okay. Everybody okay if we call the roll on the amendment? Again, for clarity, a yes vote means you agree with amending the motion. A no vote means that you do not. So call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
No.
Mrs. Houston?
No.
Mrs. Hostler?
Mr.
Can I ask a question or no, do I have to go right now? Okay, I'm going to just say no for lack of clarity.
Mr. Lidle?
No.
Mr. Pantana?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
No.
Mr. Wingard?
No.
Mr. Blevins?
No. Okay, so now we'll move to vote on the motion as presented. And a yes vote means you agree with the motion as originally presented. A no vote means that you do not. So call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Houston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lidle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantana?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Okay. The motion is approved. Okay, now is the time for our second opportunity for public comment. If you wish to speak, follow the same procedure as normal and select the raise your hand, raise hand option on your screen. When it's your turn, the webinar host will unmute your microphone and you'll be asked to state and spell your name and give your address. And again, please limit your comment to 2 minutes or less.
Mr. Blevins, we do have a few hands raised. First hand raised is Adriana Papayanis. Adriana, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead, please.
My name is Andreanna. Last name is Papayanis, Papayanis, 764 Connolly Drive, Red Lion. I just want to thank you all for putting so much effort into this school year. All three of my children are remote and they are thriving. And I was worried after last year's spring session, but honestly, I couldn't be happier. And it's such a great choice for my family. My kids get to go outside. We have lunch together when the two of them have lunch at the same time, the other one doesn't. But, you know, they just seem so happy. I was worried about, you know, being remote, not being able to see kids. They have breakout rooms. They've learned, you know, their children and their classes' names. You know, they're friends with them. They're happy to go to school at 8:25. My daughter's rushing up the stairs so she can get logged on at 8:30. My son's, you know, able to do his specials before he goes to school in the morning. I mean, it's really been such a great experience for us, and I just want to let you know that.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's good to hear.
Mr. Blevins, the next candidate is raised is Karen Fulton. Karen, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Yes. Can you hear me?
We can. Go ahead, please.
Great. Wonderful. Karen Fulton, K-E-R-R-Y-N, and Fulton, F-U-L-T-O-N. And I live at 109 Buchanan Drive in York. And so just a couple of comments. The first one being, you know, Wildcat Wednesdays, giving the teachers the relief that they need. And I applaud the board and the superintendent and assistant superintendent for bringing this to a vote. I would only encourage that it doesn't stop there. I would encourage that giving the teachers an extra day to be prepared is great, but what other support do they need? And I would hope that we will continue to reach out to the teachers and collect feedback from them directly to find out what support they need, whether it's additional computer support, training, help holding the students and their parents accountable so that they are doing the legwork they need to do during Wildcat Wednesdays and during the virtual login. So hopefully the support will continue to the teachers. And then secondarily, I am concerned about the numbers that were presented by Dr. Dahl. 273 students failing last year at this time. That's essentially doubled this year at this time. So if you want to have a measure for success, hopefully having that extra time on Wednesdays can help turn that number around. And that's what I have to say.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Blevins, this time there are no other hands raised.
Okay. I'm sorry, I went out of order here. Now's the time for any board, I should have done this before the public comment, I apologize, but any board comments or correspondence?
The only thing I'll say is I'm still concerned about K through six. We know the importance of the equity, but the equity isn't, the bottom line is equity or no equity. At some point, the kids are going to suffer if there's not some changes made to alleviate some of these issues. I don't know what that timeline is, but I'd sure like to know a timeline, because we know what the issues are. There's nothing worse that, I mean, I'm not saying it's not needed or anything, but you know, in my job, when somebody tells me I'm doing a good job, da 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 da, da and then nothing happens, you know. So just keep that in mind. Kudos only go so far. They need real relief, real help. Like I said, I know you've got to give, I mean, we're all sincere in the thanks and all, but that only goes so far. And then I think Hillary brought it up, and I really didn't think of it till yesterday or today. You know, when we have these, I know we did this board meeting like this because it was convenient for us. We already all took a day off, but so what if we had to come back in at 6 o'clock to do this? That's why we took this job. I don't know if we would have had one more person online watching this or not, but it's not really a criticism. It's just all this stuff happens, and you don't think about it till it happens. You know, maybe in the future, I mean, it was convenient for us, but, and it was published, but everybody's working, you know, so it's just something to think about.
Thank you.
Just 2 cents. I decided to support it at the last minute. I know our teachers need help. I know our teachers need support. I absolutely believe that, and I absolutely know that, and I want to say it for the record. And I'm just going to urge this group. I know we'll get constant reports. I know we'll ask for constant reports. But we need to, as a board, as an oversight board, we need to constantly monitor the feasibility of whether, I mean, there's no success or failure metrics attached to this presentation or this proposal that we voted on today. If you don't know how to measure success or failure, you don't know if you're succeeding or failing. So I'm going to urge this group that whether or not it's in the motion or not, that we revisit this on a regular basis and decide whether it's actually working or it just stays in place because we voted it that way. Thank you.
Well, to your point, Tony, we know there's 200 kids. Success or failure would be if it goes up or down.
That may be one metric.
Yeah.
If teachers aren't, if they're not gaining enough time to do as much outreach as they need to do, or if they're not gaining as much time to digitize their platform as they need to have, or if K through 6 proposal ends up being a half day and you want to line up K through 12, then there's a lot of different, as Dr. Dahl and I talked about extensively yesterday, there's a lot of moving parts to this. And I'll just say this before I stop, only because I want it to be clear. I have the utmost respect for Drs. Dahl and Heffler, and they were in an untenable position as well, and they brought forth the best proposal that they saw fit. And ultimately, it was support for them and support for the teachers that led me to vote. So I just a public thank you to both of you for the time and effort that went into it.
Thank you.
Sorry to take so long, though.
Any other comments?
It did open up another can of worms because we're looking for metrics, and everything we've talked about was kid dynamic, and our first job is the kids, and to make sure that they're set up for success. But a lot of our deliberations have settled around what's convenient or what the parents can plan for. The other bottom line that we haven't really talked about is we're also here to support the teachers. And one of the metrics is we know we're already understaffed. We talk about how we don't have enough substitutes to go around. If there is continued quarantines or sicknesses, and we're continue to demand more staffing, we're not looking out for the teachers and our abilities to lead the classrooms. And one of our metrics I would suggest is what is going to be our substitute rate or our sick rate, because then we're paying double. If the teachers are at the point and we're supporting emotional relief days where they're taking off planned days to readjust and to watch out for their own psyches because we're not providing help, then we're paying for that person to be not in front of the classroom, and then we're also paying for the substitutes. And then that's going to hurt the kids because we don't have the continuity of education. So at some point, it all is a vicious cycle that we have to watch all of the things that we're balancing, our financial responsibilities, our student welfare, and our staff, not to mention the burnout and the added requirements that we're putting on our administration. It does come down to trust that this is job one, to make sure that we can't keep piling on additional answers and reports, because then that's only going to be another box that these guys have to check. I think we have an open enough board and enough awareness that we got to just do our jobs. And I don't mean to belabor it, but we keep layering this thing on, and it's just going to get, we're going to become our own elephant in the room. That's concerning.
Any other comments?
One quick thing. How do you measure rigor? I say that, no, because I think that's the key to all of it. I know that both of my children, having gone through this system, and both of them, who were in the medical profession, have said they were light years ahead of their contemporaries when they went into college. How do you measure that? So the teachers right now need some time to make sure that the curriculum that they're covering is rigorous. They're going to graduate, they're going to have their GPA, but that's not measurable as far as how prepared are they to be out in the real world, how prepared are they to make a family sustaining wage. So I don't think we can measure that. We just need to make sure that we have faith in the system, faith in our teachers to continue doing what they've done so well, and that is present a rigorous curriculum and make sure that these students are prepared. And again, I how do you put a ruler to that? How do you measure that? I don't think you can. I think, to me, that's the big thing, is just give them the time to give it their best and make sure that these students are prepared for the next step. So.
If I can just clarify, because I was one that said that I wanted, you know, open lines of communication and how well this was working. I didn't mean by that data or, you know, failure rates or anything like that. I meant, like, how are the teachers doing? How's their morale since we've given them this day? How's their interaction now with the students? Are they allowed? Can they now connect with the students that they were having trouble with? That kind of communication, not a spreadsheet as to where the students are grade wise or anything like that. I don't want that. I want to know how these Wednesdays are working good for our teachers, for our students. Is it allowing them extra time to communicate with their students, with their families? Are they able to develop and use that time that we've given them? That's what I was referring to. So if that was misconstrued, I apologize.
While we're pontificating, but I'll just, a couple of years ago, this board set out on a mission to, piggyback on Mr. Wingard's comment. A couple years ago, this board set out on a mission to define excellence. We spent over a year, and we kind of gave up. And the conclusion is we kind of know it when we see it, but we couldn't figure out a way to measure, define things. So I love a spreadsheet as much as anyone in this room. You know that. But there's some things you can't put on there. So to Mrs. Hotzer's point, so far in... Remember, Dr. Dahl and Dr. Heffler have only been on the job now 10-ish months. They've been nothing but forthcoming and transparent with us. I have every reason to believe they're going to continue to do that. So
it's only been 10?
That's why I had to do the math in my
months, not years.
The good news is there's only 10 more months left in 2020. But to that point, I think, I trust them to do what they see fit. They're listening, they're making change on the fly, and they're probably gonna there could be changes to this proposal, and there's definitely going to be other ones coming. That's kind of my point earlier. Let's have some compassion and patience with each other throughout the community, because it's, we're not done with any of this yet.
Good. Any other comments? Okay, the calendar of board events is posted for your review, and meeting is adjourned. When do you want to reconvene the